Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is our scripture reading in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. One indeed needs to approach this text with a sense of humility. For one is quickly aware of the fact that he is unworthy of what this text says and what it teaches, first to the preacher and then to God's people. And yet we are to preach the word, the full word, and with humble hands and fearful hearts, we take hold of this text and would inspect it for our growth in grace. What does he tell us? It is a text, of course, that we use for presenting the person of Jesus Christ as indeed the God-man. It is a Sedes Doctrina. It is a central focus of the New Testament. And yet, as we look at the text in its full context, the golden theme that arises to face us is the simple word humility. We are called to be humble people, because he, Jesus Christ, demonstrated to us his deep humility. For the text would tell us, this is first of all an all-powerful Savior. That's what it tells us. Who, although he existed in the form of God, is there any question that the Savior whom we worship in this season is one who comes in the manger, but who comes who is indeed God himself. And he, as it were, does not seek to seize his godness and hang on to it for dear life as he is dragged unwillingly into the world, but willingly he comes into the womb of the Blessed Virgin so that he might become one with us. He does not think he's losing something by identifying with us. He who is God himself. But the text is more than simply an adoration of the one who deigns to come into this world through the womb of the Blessed Virgin to be born as one of our brethren. He has more to tell us in this text. He would remind us that he has demonstrated for us his own humility, so that we might see what is required of us, that we become humble and as little children. He speaks of our humility, for he reminds us, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. What's the attitude? Why, the fact that he who is God becomes man doesn't say, oh, I'm God, I'm not going to become man. And so we are confronted with our own pride of our guilt and our sins. We who will not be humbled by anybody, including God. We are like God. And we will not be humbled. With our sins and our pride, we are blown up beyond what we are. And we need to read again the text and follow the one who indeed has no need to bow to anyone. But he humbles himself. This Christ, who, as the text says, empties himself. Look at this sacrificial love that our Christ has demonstrated for us. That he who is God Almighty humbles himself. Would you humble yourself for a mad dog? That is the depth of his love, and at which we stand in awe. The humility that the Son demonstrates for a lost world, sunk in its egoism and its hatred of God and its self-esteem and its pride. For this he humbles himself. He empties himself. We know it does not mean he emptied himself of Godness, but that he emptied himself, he put aside all his prerogative. He did not walk around our earth with a glowing halo and visible angels to demonstrate his power, but laid them aside for us. No wonder we stand in awe of this text. He took upon himself, the text says, the form of a servant. He who is in the morphe, the form of God, the very substance of God, he who is God, takes on the morphe of a servant, takes on the very substance of a servant. It is the essence of being God's people to be servants. He demonstrates it. He puts on servanthood. He does not, you see, lay aside the morphe of Godness. But as we have been taught from the scriptures, he takes up the humanity into himself with all the humility of the Son of God, with his deep sacrificial love for us. And he is born in the likeness of man. Our Savior comes, our God comes to us in a form that is knowable for us. We can see him. We can touch the infant. We can observe him. We see him eat, to drink, and speak. We see his eyes observe us. We see him walk those roads in Palestine. We see him meet people in conflict and terror. We see him meet anxiety and disease and death. We know him because he is like us in every way save one. Sin. What a Savior. No wonder we are in awe at this text. No wonder it is a sede doctrine of our faith on the deity of Christ. But no, I want you to even put that aside and stare at the humility of this one who is God and mark it for your ministry. He came in our likeness. He came in our likeness, though he was no sinner. He willingly took upon him our sin. What we deserve, he willingly lifted upon his shoulders. And when you look at that heavy cross on his shoulder on Good Friday, think of it as your sin, mine. Our guilt, not his. He, like us in all respects, every way, human, as well as God. And yet he goes on to tell us, and also came in the appearance of men. Is he just? The Holy Spirit reiterating what he said before, the likeness of men, the appearance of men? I believe not. He came in the skin of men.
He came in all the outward trappings of mankind. But he wants us to remember, even with this schema, that we can observe and see and reach out and touch, as John tells us in his epistle, with our own fingers and hands. He would have us know that he stands before us in his humanity. And though he clothes his majesty in humanity, make no mistake, beneath it lies he who is God. And that's your Savior and mine. With the substance, the morphology of God himself, the scheme of our flesh, and then, of course, the morphology of a servant. He took upon himself the form of a servant. That, my dear men, may I say, is the essence of ministry, to be a servant. Nothing less. And in the name of God, nothing more. Form of a servant. Listen, he talks about the form of God. He is in the form of God, the very substance of God, the stamp of God. And yet he takes into himself the stamp of servanthood. Not in exchange. Not dumping out godness and taking up servanthood, but into the very morphe of God, the very form of God, he becomes the authentic servant of mankind. And then he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. What is the essence of servanthood, I ask? I will tell you what it is. It is obedience. He becomes a servant so that he will be obedient to the Father. And he will suffer death, the criminal and vicious death of the cross. That's servant. Obedience to the Father. That all of our guilt and our sin, our egomania, our self-concern, our self-pity, they don't treat me right. All of it is taken up into the wounds of Christ, the God servant, my Savior. And as the blood flows, the forgiveness flow. I'm free. Free in servant to be a servant. God has then, therefore, exalted him. As the natural result of this servanthood and this death on the cross, as my substitute before the bar of God's justice, he is raised up in glory, triumphant, giving of all the gifts that God has stored in his heart for us, forgiveness and life and renewal and joy and hope and expectation. And above all, the ability and the call to be another servant for others. We exalt the name. It is the name above all names. No name is above you. So that he reminds us every knee must bow. Our response to the gospel, the good news on the cross, is that a knee bows, every one of us. But I forgot something. The text has more than just you and I bowing. that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Even the demons bow. That's the servant, the God servant. So that we bow with all creation, and even the demons are forced to their knees. So that every tongue should confess this glorious truth, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. There is purpose to servanthood. Not simply to serve God and His church and the world, but so that all turn to glorify the Father who has created us and redeemed us in the Son servant. That's why this text demands we approach it with awe and great caution. It is pure gold. It needs careful heart and warm hands. So rich, it is so filled with grace. But it would, I remind you at the very end, call you one and all to what he began with at the very beginning of the text, a call to humility, a call to obedience, the abandonment of any pretense of power or rule or control or self-service, to be absolutely vulnerable to the world, even to the demonic, all in the name of the one who grants us the victory, for we too shall be exalted and raised on high to rule and reign with him who is King of all, forever, forever, forever. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.